Hello and welcome to GamerCast episode 252. This is the show also recorded on the 19th of June 2011. Hello, I'm your host Paul, and join me this week, or today, or this month, or this fortnight is Catherine. Can you not sneeze when I'm doing the intro, yo?
I'm sorry. Hello.
Hello.
I was trying to hold it in, but then I couldn't, and then you introduced me and then I sneezed.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
Right, so this episode is the last of our E3 specific episodes.
Yes.
That means no more crappy episodes with no, like, segments or letters or releases or anything. This is the last one of our crappy E3 things, which were crap and are massively delayed. Oh my god.
They were massively dead. I was massively ill. And couldn't help it.
She had food poisoning.
No, I didn't. I had nerd flu, someone told me.
Nerd flu?
Although, if you ask me, it was plane flu.
Get away from me, yo.
Because, of course, all the circulated germs on the plane.
Yeah, from all the hobos on the plane.
Hobos? Oh.
Yes, hobos. Anyway, so this episode is just about the general E3 stuff. What was going on the show floor. Blah, blah, blah.
The kind of, well, generally the stuff I checked out. There's none of the stuff, though, that Charlotte checked out on here that I just realised, but...
So that means we have to do two of these crappy episodes.
Not really.
Does that mean I have to edit these show notes?
No.
Okay.
So unless you want to grab Charlotte.
Oh, no, stop that. Well, we could if you want. Oi, Charlotte!
Hello.
Yeah, so we're now joined by Charlotte, who I managed to convince to be on the show. Let's get this pile of crap rolling, and let's talk about games.
Yes. So first we're going to talk about Saints Row the Third, which...
Oh, we don't want to talk about that.
Charlotte checked out.
Where's Skyrim?
It's
Stay tuned for some Skyrim news. Yeah.
Okay, so Saints Row the Third...
Wait. What? Saints Row, is this that crappy game with the guy and his crap?
It was never actually that crap. The insurance fraud, and it was awesome.
Yeah.
Lame.
So this is the third in the series now of Saints Row the Third, which has always tried to get away from being the
GTA clone.
That people have always called it.
Danny likes
actually
it.
Actually a capital.
It's, yeah, but I write it this way.
Colon the third.
No.
Basically the games are really over the top, and in Saints Row the Third they're going to make it even more over the top. I didn't get to actually play it, but we got shown a presentation, and I mean, it's a bit crazy, really. In Saints Row the Third, the Saints are a lot more popular now than they were in the first two, and you're sort of a celebrity, so they showed you can call out airstrikes on your, like, guys, which was just ridiculously over the top.
Very over the
and
top.
And you can use a private jet to, like, zoom across. And it's like, really, literally zooming, like, you've never had any kind of jet-type thing in any games like that. So zooming over the city was really cool. And then the fighting is ridiculously over the top as well. So every weapon you have does a specific context, specific, like, groin punch. And you can do wrestling moves on people in the street, and people will clap and love you, and you sign autographs and loads of weird stuff, and then the character customization's back and still really good as well, apparently, because that was quite a good thing of the first game and the second game, because then you want to be as...
You're getting quieter.
Different.
I don't know what Paul's doing.
Hey, don't mess with what... this is my creativity, yo.
Okay. Which always made Saints Row better than GTA in a sense, because you were your own character as opposed to a character in a story.
Yes.
But Saints Row the Third looks really cool, and if you enjoyed the first one, and especially the second one, because in the second one they went really over the top, then you're going to love the third one. There's a vehicle that you can catapult people out of. It just sucks them up on the street like Kirby, and then just shoots them out. So that was really cool. So,
what was that one called?
Professor Genki's Manipole or something like
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah.
It's a bit weird.
What's that coming out on them?
That's coming out on Xbox, PlayStation, and I think PC as well.
Well, we don't want to
came out
rubbish.
On PC.
And I think that's coming out at the end of the year.
Yeah. You think?
You think. Well, this is GamerCast. We are hardcore research people who know things, and we just say, we think.
Well, I've written a preview up about it. It's on the coming website. Out.
Yeah, no one checks the website.
I can let
this
you.
Is a podcast. You know, this is my domain.
It is coming out November 15th this year.
There you go, November 15th.
So, there you go, I'm on top of things.
That was quite a good one at E3, although surprisingly for a November release they didn't have let you play.
It's a bit weird considering it's June.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Hitman, because the man with the barcode on his neck, who has no hair, is back and we're all excited to see him.
Well, this is a bit controversial, really, because...
Okay, let's talk about...
No! Hitman Absolution is, like, the fifth game in the series now. And IO have done a lot of changes to the game. It's Hitman 5.
So, basically, the bald man with the neck barcode is dead.
He's not dead.
And they've introduced Elmo in your brain.
How's it number 5?
Who cares? Let's just talk about the damn game.
2...
For some reason I was counting contracts as two.
Absolution. What they've done is they've removed sandbox levels. Well, they haven't removed sandbox levels, but they've made levels more linear now in Hitman. So you'll find scripted events rather than total just here's a level,
do your
mission, we don't care how you do it. Apparently freedom of choice is still a very big deal. So they will attempt to bring it as close to the sandbox levels that fans of the game will be used to. It does look really good because the games have always been a bit behind. Well, not really, actually. They've always looked okay, but Blood Money looks a bit scratchy now. Is scratchy a good word?
Itchy.
Ropey.
It's fairly old now, though.
Yeah,
so.
It's fairly old. But the thing is that unfortunately Hitman doesn't really sell as much as it used to.
No.
So there is now a really nice cover system in place, which also some people are not liking.
Cover systems can really help games, yeah. So I think it's good.
I think it's a good idea because stealth games are just, what's the word, complemented by cover systems. It doesn't mean that it's turning into a third-person cover system shooter. It's just
which is what people
system.
Think it's going to do.
Yeah.
Which it's not.
And it also has now larger button prompts so that you can actually read what you're supposed to be doing, because one of the problems with the original Hitman games was that you would have this tiny little list come up in your corner and it would tell you what you could do and then you'd have to select the list. And it was awful on the PC because...
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah.
Because it was real tricky.
Yeah. And they've changed it now for button prompts, which is not QTE. It's a button prompt that comes up on the screen to tell you that you can do this. It's not telling
you
to do it at a specific time.
So, like, they've done it in Tomb Raider as well.
Yeah.
So, if there's a torch there, it says, like, it has R2 come up when you're near it.
Yeah.
Because you can then pick it up.
Yeah, unfortunately, a lot of people confuse this with QTE, and they think that it's
becoming... Well, saying button prompt
can
confuse some people.
Yeah. Well, people that get confused by that should be shocked. So,
Harsh.
Well, they should... It's just a simple term of gaming that everyone should know.
What does QTE mean?
QTE is a quick time event. So it's something that you have
to do... Quick time? Quick time sucks!
So it's something that you have to do at a specific time very quickly, whereas a button prompt is showing you what you can do.
What? Shut up!
So one of the new features...
I'm
going to
do what I want to do.
...is the instinct mode, which is a bit weird because... So what they've done in Absolution is they've gotten rid of the actual map screen that you used to have, where you used to be able to see everyone's patrols, and you used to be able to see everything on the map, and you could basically play the game through this map.
Through the map, like a lot of games.
So they've removed that for this instinct feature, which basically is sort of like detective mode, and you can use instinct for a short amount of time to see guys through walls and see what paths they're taking, which is a bit of a weird idea.
So basically, this game's going downhill.
This is what a lot of people think, but I still think that a good game can get made out of it. Well, if you ask me, it's picked up on all the clunky controls Hitman's always had, the awful cover system it's always had, and the terrible button prompts. And then it's also added instinct mode, which improves on disguises.
Okay, so Charlotte's verdict is... This game has potential.
Yes, it has potential.
What's this next thing?
Okay, so that
and
is...
how do you spell it?
Lucius is a new adventure game made by a small Polish company, yeah, I think. It's called Shiver Games. No, it's not how you spell it.
How do you spell it?
L-U-C-I-U-S. No. So, Lucius is a new adventure game. So, you probably might not have heard of it, but...
well, they mentioned it on Kotaku.
Yeah, they've actually mentioned it on Kotaku, so maybe some people are aware of it now. So, basically, he plays this six-year-old boy who is given, like, sort of the...
A shotgun. No, and basically, your mission in life is to become the angel of death.
He becomes sort of... I don't know, he gets, like, the devil's powers, I guess you could say.
So, pretty much the same thing.
Except there's no shotguns involved.
When he turns six... And you're instructed by your grandfather, was it? I think your grandfather, to eliminate all of the people in the house.
I think it was your uncle. Was it your grandfather?
I think it was your grandfather and his first
grandson. Some old matey.
Oh, okay.
So you're instructed by him to get rid of all the people in the house so that the devil may materialise, I think it is, or give him these powers that he promised him when he sold his first grandson.
Can I just say that this story you're trying to tell here seems a bit far-fetched?
It's an adventure game.
It's Hitman.
It's a game. Oh, yeah. Okay.
So the thing that makes this quite cool is that it's an adventure game. So that means there isn't actually any violence in the game that is caused by button prompt, well, hitting people and stuff like that. So everything is like a puzzle. So you have to get rid of all these people by doing certain things. For instance, you could put like rat poison in someone's tea to get rid of them, or you can convince someone to kill someone else. Because they're jealous or things like that. So you get all these powers throughout the game that can be used by you as a six-year-old boy. And of course, because you're playing as a six-year-old boy, you're like, what, 2 foot tall?
Yeah.
So
he's absolutely tiny. There's a nice sense of scale from it because of that.
So halfway through the game, you will unlock the, what's it called? Telekinesis?
Yeah. You unlock the cool mystery machine
kind of devil powers
from the
get.
Film Big, where Tom Hanks says he's big and now he's big.
And you'll have to use things like that to grab objects off shelves. And it's actually like a really interesting game. And if you like adventure games, and even if you just like clever puzzle games, then Lucius is looking really good. And also the graphics look really nice in it too, for a third person.
Yeah, they've got a really nice engine that works quite well with
it. So I take it this is out on the Xbox?
No, this is only out on PC. This is a PC adventure game. I'm not too sure on the release date for it now because it's been pushed back, because it was coming out, I think it should have come out a few months ago, but I think it's been pushed back to the end of the year now.
Really?
Yes, because unfortunately they needed to give it a bit more polish, but this looks like a really fun adventure game, so if you do like adventure games then you should definitely check out Lucius by Lace Mamba and Shiver Games.
Oh yeah, so let's talk about Elmo and why Elmo is a little git. We need to kick up the backside.
You don't like Elmo?
No, it's because Elmo's
like
creepy.
Sesame Street?
Elmo knows where you live.
Elmo knows where you live.
quoting the Simpsons.
There was a couple of Sesame Street games on show at E3. One of those is Once Upon a Monster, which is Double Fine's new...
That's developed by the guy.
Yeah.
The guy who made Brutal Legend single-handedly by enslaving the guy who's in it and then making him be in it.
Yeah.
Tim Shumu.
So, Once Upon a Monster is a Kinect-based
It's a Kinect game. Kiddie game for kiddies.
Yeah, pretty much.
Kiddies.
So you
like
do
that.
Things like dancing...
Or girlfriend.
Dancing,
or me. Musical statues.
I enjoy playing it.
Like grabbing things like you would in like an iToy game. Generally just loads of fun, cute things that... you and your child could play around with, or just two very childish people.
It works well.
Yeah, we had loads of fun with it. And that's coming out...
Wait. I have had no fun with it whatsoever.
You haven't played it.
Exactly. Well, don't say we.
When Charlotte says we, she means us people who were at E3.
Yeah. Me, Katting, and Tim all played it, and we all enjoyed it.
Low standards.
Rude.
So the other game, the other Sesame Street game that I had a look at was one called
Shop.
Ready Set Grover, which is a new Sesame Street game that's coming out for the Wii. Ready Set something. Ready Set Grover.
Yeah, so this, as you said, it's for the Wii only, isn't it?
There's actually a DS game coming out as well, but they're like different. And I only actually got to saw the Wii game. They didn't have the
Oh, they didn't have the DS game on show.
So this is quite cute. If you are looking for a game for your child, this is basically a game that you can sit your child with and leave them for like the rest of their lives. Because there is no text, there is no confusing information. Everything is told to them like they need to know. So it'll tell you to perform this mini game, and then if you do have problems, he'll come up and say, you know, oh, well, are you supposed to be doing this? And it was just really cute and fun, and it's Sesame Street, so it was like instilling, I think it was nutrition, good hygiene, fun, and some other stuff.
Gayness.
It was really cute. So, like, one
fun,
of the...
Fun, good nutrition, and homosexuality.
No. So one of the mini games in it, you had, like, these three monsters, and...
Wait, was one of them called Elmo?
No. You were Elmo, though.
Oh, my God.
Why is it called Ready, Set, Grover?
Because Grover's in it, too.
Okay.
What the hell is Grover?
Grover's one of the Muppets.
Why are we talking about this on my podcast?
So, there was, like, these three monsters, and then... you have to watch out for one of them looks like they're going to sneeze, and then you have to throw him a tissue.
Flipping firm a flipping axe so he can cut his head off.
Good hygiene. And then there was like another one where you have to get this monster.
How's that good hygiene?
Food on his tray, so you have to move your tray so that it bounces off the tray onto his plate. And everything is used on the Wii remote, so you don't even need the nunchuck, so everything's really simple. And then the game also comes with...
a little Wii jacket.
Like a Wii jacket.
A Wiimote jacket.
And what the jacket does is it hides all of the buttons apart from 2, plus, minus, and home, because those are the only buttons that you need in the whole game. And everything's done on the accelerometer as well, so there's no, like, lashing out, hitting stuff. Everything's just nice and basically like tilting it left and right.
So this is a game that many of our GamerCast listeners will be interested in, is it?
I'm interested in it. I'm a GamerCast listener.
No,
yeah,
shut
she
up.
Is.
Well, if anyone has
can we
kids,
please,
then, yeah.
Can we please not talk about his game?
That's okay.
Can we please get to the games which I can tolerate without wanting to vomit in my mouth?
Okay, well, Ready, Set, Grover is a really cute game and it's coming out this summer.
And this is on the YI.
On the YI, man.
YI, man!
Let's talk about Never Dead, because that sounds more violent.
Okay,
it is.
So, Never Dead is a new game that Konami and Rebellion are making.
Oh, dear.
What's wrong with that?
Rebellion? Konami? Uh-oh.
Okay, well, Rebellion are making the game. Konami are simply publishing the game.
Uh-oh.
The Konami's dealings with it is that they've got...
No doubt a game will now be in capital letters.
Shinto... And he's the producer of Metal Gear Acid, and he's like in charge of the game, and Rebellion are making it.
Oh, dear.
So, if you've not seen this, it's a quite cool game, and it's about this guy called Bryce. And he looks like a total, like, 2000 AD kind of... He's kind of a cross between Cable and, like...
He's got
an eye like Cable.
Except, of course, Cable's Marvel.
Like, drawn like a 2000 AD character and then modelled. I guess. So Bryce is a demon hunter who whose wife is killed, and at the same time that his wife is killed, he gets his eye punched or something by a demon.
Lol.
And that makes him immortal. So
what?
So then the game plays out, you are an immortal person, so you cannot... Can you turn that down if you're gonna play it? So you're an immortal like dude and you have to go about killing people. So, obviously, because you're immortal, you can't die, which means it's a bit weird for a game. But you have this secondary character, Arcadia, who is your...
Sorry. My apologies again for sneezing.
What would you say she is? She's your...
She's your companion.
Your companion.
Fairy godmother, mate.
That you walk around with. But the thing that makes Never Dead really cool is that it's just like Devil May Cry. It's a third-person hack-and-slash sort of game. So, say you're attacked by an enemy and it chops your arm off, then you just keep fighting. And then...
Oh my god, that sounds awesome.
But then, if your arm is on the floor at the time and you're shooting...
Yeah, your arm will
Your
still
arm
shoot.
Will be shooting at people.
And then say your other arm falls off, then you'll just start, like, walking around with no arms.
I like it, though, when you get your leg shot off, because then you're crawling along on the ground.
So then you... And then you could just have one leg, say, shot off, and then you'll be hopping around. And eventually it gets to the point where you're just a head rolling around on the floor. And, like, of course, in all these different states, you can still attack everything that's shooting
This
you.
Game sounds awesome.
Yeah, it's really weird and weirdly awesome.
Weirdly awesome.
Like,
because it is a hack and slash, the like it was just sort of repetitive enemies that you're killing and stuff like that. But hopefully that's just the demo and they'll get a lot of variety in it. But in a way it's more like Devil May Cry than your standard hack and slash, because you've got guns and your sword. Because he's got two guns, one that shoots really fast and one that shoots kind of slow. And then he can switch between that and his katana, which you use quite nicely on the analog sticks to kind of swipe. But basically the whole game is all about how he falls apart and the funness that ensues.
Yeah, it was loads of fun.
Yeah. And it's also got a soundtrack completely...
Who was it done by?
Megadeth. So the soundtrack is all completely, what would you say... It's the music of Megadeth, basically, in a game. I'm not sure who Megadeth are. They sound like a metal band.
They are a metal band.
Yeah. But Never Dead was quite a cool game, and it's probably... Actually, I think the most... one of the most fun games that I thought was actually on show from Konami, I'd say.
It's a really interesting... It's a really interesting concept. Konami. Yeah, it's a good concept, and...
And it works.
It's nice.
It does... I am now really interested in this game. The fact that you could be, like, just a head... And you're still attacking people. It's like... Argh.
And, yeah, it's just cool.
It works well.
Yeah.
So, next up, when Paul minimises Angry Birds for us. Rayman Origins. So, we
don't need to talk about it.
Yeah, we do.
So, we saw it... they announced it last year at E3, when it was going to be an episodic game.
Yes.
But then kind of branched it out into a more kind of big retail release. They showed it then as well at the Ubisoft conference, and
it looked absolutely
amazing. Looks awesome. They've got a lovely art style. It's a nice little co-op game.
It's all like completely 2D, the characters. So they've got lovely little animations going on them as well.
Yes, everything looks awesome.
So it's primarily a four player co-op game,
but you don't have to have four players.
It just complements the gameplay. And the four players will play as Rayman, I think he's Globox, I'm not sure how you pronounce it,
something
which
like
is
that.
The big blue guy. And then these two little dudes, and I can't remember what they're called.
I don't know what they were called.
Captain Planet and Lamo Heartkid.
It's not Captain Planet.
You always bring out Captain Planet and Heartkid.
It's what I do when I get bored.
And it's really, just a frantic, fast-paced platformer. The levels that we played were just, like, I don't know. They were just really awesome.
Yeah, so there was a desert, a sea level, what else? I can't... There was three levels, wasn't there?
Yeah, we did a desert, we didn't do the sea level, though.
Damn this level.
We did a desert, we did a jungle, and we did something else.
But it was awesome.
Yeah, and the thing is, I mean, it's complemented by the co-op play, because... as long as there's someone still alive, then you can't die.
Yes, although if everyone dies, sadly,
it's last checkpoint.
Game.
Let's play Left 4 Dead.
But Rayman Origins, did they have a release date for Rayman?
I don't think so.
What's this on? Is this Wii?
No, this is 360, PS3.
Oh man, we don't want to have rubbish on our console.
Is it an Xbox Live Arcade title?
No, it should be going up as a full-blown release.
Okay.
It was going to be an arcade title.
Rayman returns in his fantastic fashion. It's, like, good because he's been a bit pants these last few years.
Yeah.
When he turned 3D. And then when the Rabbids appeared.
Yeah. I mean, okay, the Rabbids games are cool for their own reasons.
But they shouldn't have carried Rayman.
They shouldn't have gone on so long, and they didn't need Rayman in the title. Okay, they needed it at first to be able to sell it, but... They sell fine on their own.
People that buy Rabbids don't even know who Rayman is.
Well, yeah, loads of the people that I know that buy Rabbids like the Rabbids. And that's why they play them.
This level's really hard.
So, I went to go to, what's the name? 2K. And they had the Darkness 2 on show, which is awesome. So, I'm a massive fan of the Darkness. Starbreeze did an awesome job with the game.
They did a great job with
it. And made it...
Awesome.
It was probably one of the most story-driven first persons that I've ever played, really.
Yeah.
And the fact that there were TV screens that showed you films, and you could just hang around on the subway helping people out, and it was one of the first games that really sort of did that for me.
And The Dark Knight 2 isn't actually being made by the same people. They've got, I think it's a Canadian company working on it instead. It's, do you know the name?
Captain Planet, and it is crazy.
Isn't it the Dark Sector guys?
Canadian people.
The guys that made Dark Sector, I can't think of the name. But they've taken over. So the premise of The Dark Knight 2 is that it's set a few years after, I think it's maybe 2 or 3 years after the first Darkness, and Jackie's managed to keep the Darkness at bay. However, now he's the head of
the Mafia.
Well, the head of their family. I want to say Punchinello, and I know that's Max Payne. I can't think of what his last name is.
Jackie.
I can't think of what his last name is either. And because now you're the head of the Mafia, everyone's out to get you. So you have no other option but to bring the Darkness back out of you. So it looks really cool. I mean, they told us that it will still be extremely story based, and they're not getting away from that because that was one of the most important parts of the Darkness.
That's important.
And they showed us, I think, one of the first areas that you go to where you're up against these
Captain Planet.
These guys that also have access to the Darkness's powers. I mean, they've put in, like, the animations. They've put in a lot more animations now with the Darkness.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, you told me that, didn't you?
I didn't see the Gunsmoke. I'm not sure if the Gunsmoke has returned. But they've added in things like skill trees for upgrading your weapons and upgrading the Darkness's powers and things like that. And also, I don't know, it looks pretty good. We didn't see much in the way of story, though, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
When's this out?
I think that's out at the end of the year as well.
Platforms?
Usual? I imagine it'll be Xbox and PS3. I doubt it.
They haven't announced a Wii U yet.
Wii U.
What?
What do you mean, what? Metro's coming out on the Wii U. Darksiders 2 is.
Hey, we're not talking about Metro yet, lady. Shh, stop playing your 3DS.
Yeah, because we're talking about Silent Hill now.
Yeah?
Yeah, let's talk about Silent Hill Down.
This is coming out next year.
Something.
Be next year.
Who cares? Let's talk about Silent Hill, yo, because a new Silent Hill game will no doubt be welcomed by many of the long-term fans of Silent Hill, who in recent games have seen it go crazily wrong and horribly bad.
So, the last Silent Hill game that was really good was Shattered Memories, which was made by Climax, and
the same people who brought you MotoGP.
Yeah. Well, the old ones, wasn't it? They didn't do the new ones.
The proper ones. Not like the crappy Japanese ones.
And
crappy
the Capcom. Reason that Shattered Memories was so good was because it took away the third person action, and it kind of, I don't know, it put more fear into you even though there was no action.
Yeah,
I'm scared.
So what they've done with Downpour is they've sort of taken this methodology, but they've also added in the third person action that you got in
stupid Silent helmet Origins. Wearing dudes. Mm.
So you pick up
items, because of the whole picking up
and
stuff.
Then you kill people with them.
Wait, is there a cool wheelchair in it that I can wheel around in?
There's a wheelchair on top of a
it's
a
not
building.
Dead Rising.
But there was wheelchair stuff in Shattered Memories.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, there was a section in Shattered Memories where you were in a wheelchair.
In a
and
I'm
you were
not
like,
crazy.
Oh,
and
Paul probably saw you playing it.
Oh, okay. The only difference with Downpour to Origins, however, is in Origins I think you could pick maybe 4 items up or something like that, whereas in Downpour you're only allowed the item that you're actually holding.
Which is kind of annoying.
But realistic. Like, where the hell are you going to put a chair?
In the bin.
So, Downpour's going to have a prevalence on a lot of the things that Shattered Memories had. So you're going to still have sections where you're running away. However, in Downpour you're running away from this kind of weird shining light.
Yeah,
thing.
I think it was cool though.
Yeah. So in Shattered Memories you were always running away from monsters, but in this you seem to be running away from like a bigger threat. It's sort
the
of like,
nothing.
Yeah, it's like the nothing.
Ah! No, my horse, whatever it's called, Atreyu. Is my horse. Flipping Atreyu.
The demo showed you like the 3 different aspects of Silent Hill Downpour, which was exploration.
Exploration and action.
Come on, people, action. Let's speed this up a bit, yo, because I've completed like 6 Angry Birds levels in the time you've been talking about this.
The exploration is your standard Silent Hill, so you'll have to walk around, check out everything, see if doors are open, all that sort of stuff. And then you've got action, which is split in between the two, which is, as we just said, running away, and then there's your standard fighting monsters. Yeah. They haven't actually announced what sort of monsters will be in Downpour yet, because, of course, they do switch them up every now and again.
Yes.
I think we've been promised that Pyramid Head will not be in it, thankfully. However, I'm sure that, like, the nurses and that will return. Yeah. The only thing that makes Downpour quite different to other games for fans is that it's actually taking place on the other side of Silent Hill.
Which we've never been to before.
Yeah, so no one's ever been to this section before. So you won't be seeing the hospital and you won't be seeing the elementary school. You'll be seeing all new locations, which is really cool.
And there's a...
What's that? There's a big prevalence on water in Downpour as well, although we didn't actually get to see that from the demo.
Hence the name!
There was some in the demo, though.
Only a little bit.
From water.
Yeah.
I don't know if you could drown. I should have tried to have killed you. I didn't try that.
But yeah, Silent Hill Downpour is coming out at the end of this year as well?
Yeah, I think so.
And is this a 3DS game or what?
No, this is Xbox 360, PlayStation 3.
Yeah. I think it's looking good.
Yeah. It still looks like it's like needs a bit of work, like polish-wise.
Yeah.
But it was. I think it's still in the alpha stages.
Yeah, so there were a few things like getting trapped with enemies. Hopefully they'll fix that kind of that issue, because that's never good in like a third person action game when you can get stuck in a corner because of an enemy being in front of you and stuff like that.
Okay, let's talk about Resident Evil, something to do with some raccoon or something.
Resident Evil Operation Raccoon City. So this was announced fairly recently by Capcom,
a few months ago, wasn't it?
And a few months ago, and they actually had it on show and playable at E3. So this is kind of like the kind of
it's Lost Planet meets Resident Evil.
In the same kind of style as Outbreak Files?
Well, only in the sense that you're playing online.
Yeah.
It is Lost Planet.
Well, it's the only kind of... That's the only kind of Resident Evil that's done this kind of thing before.
Yeah. It's an online co-op tactical shooter.
Yeah.
And the point of the game is to kill Leon Kennedy.
Which is crazy.
Get rid of all of the evidence of...
What about that Colonel Captain City? Commander
Captain
Wesker?
Captain Wesker won't be in it, I don't think. Because you're part of the...
Imagine if he was an unlockable character.
Who are you part of?
Aren't you a part of Umbrella? You're not, are you?
Umbrella? But it's not raining, though.
There's like loads of people there trying to kill you.
Yeah, so the whole point of the game is that you're these special ops guys who are there to make sure that everything is taken care of. So you've got to get rid of the Raccoon City, like, people. So, like, the policeman. And that includes Leon Kennedy.
Yep.
You've also got to get rid of the zombies as much as they get into your way. You've also got to get rid of... Is it the, special forces?
Yeah,
that
I can't
are sent
think
in
what
as
they're
well?
Really cool.
But, I mean, I think there's a single-player campaign and there's a multiplayer campaign. But, of course, most of the fun will be had in a multiplayer. I think the thing that was so good about it, as we were playing it, is that you've, like... So Resident Evil 5 changed Resident Evil, and it's not a survival horror anymore. It's an action third-person shooter. And I mean, there were still aspects of it being survival horror in Resident Evil 5 because you still wouldn't pick up weapons as much as you would in a shooter, and you still have that issue. But the thing with Operation Raccoon City is that it is literally a third-person shooter.
Well, it's made by the SOCOM guys.
Or is it? Is it third person actually, or is it first?
It's third.
Yes, it is third person.
Because there's combat. So you can punch zombies. Yeah. It's like Dead Rising.
What I really like about it is that you can just get a machine gun and then start mowing down zombies. And this is like, you can never really do that in a Resident Evil game because...
No, because you don't have that.
You don't have the ammo because you have to conserve absolutely everything.
Whereas this is just... like drop-off points for ammo and stuff like that.
This is just unadulterated zombie fun.
Unadulterated zombie.
You just shoot the hell out of them.
So, like, the other cool aspects, which, of course, were already announced before, but it was nice actually seeing it in play, is, of course, with all these other humans about, so, like, the Special Forces guys and anyone else like that, or even you, if you get shot at or bitten, your blood's then, you know, going on the ground, or you're bleeding, and then zombies will be drawn towards you because you're bleeding.
Yeah.
This, of course, then means... You go into a panic because, oh no, all these zombies are now coming at me, what the hell do I do? But there's also a good thing, tactically, for if you do it to the special ops guys, because then if they're really annoying you, which I found them really annoying, because they were constantly shooting me and killing me.
Yeah.
Not the zombies, the special ops guys, because they have guns and there's snipers at different points. So I just found it good to do a few shots on them, and then they were bleeding and the zombies went in and killed them. Although it got hard when the things came in. I can't think what they are.
The things,
big,
people.
The big kind of
zombie mutants. Man.
Kind of like Croc.
Mutant. Croc Dundee.
Also. Croc? Do you know what I'm...
Hunters.
Hunters, yeah, that's one. They're quite reptilian. When the hunters came in, it got mega hard. Because apparently I was playing as the worst character in the world. But so basically, I think there's six characters, is there six?
There's a lot more.
There's a bunch of characters that you can choose from. Each of them have their own special abilities that you can use throughout the game. I think you have to unlock them now. Yeah, you have to unlock the special abilities as you go along. So at first, I played as Spectre because I remember Spectre from the video thinking, oh, he's going to be awesome.
Mm.
And the only upgrade you had, well, the only ability you had in the demo that we played was to have a larger mini-map. Which is great for in a combat situation.
But, if you like Resident Evil as a survival horror, then you're probably not going to like Operation Raccoon.
No.
But if you do like your games, you know, maybe not so much SOCOM, because that's more tactical, but if you like Lost Planet cooperative, if you like...
Dead Rising?
That's not cooperative as much, though.
This is co-op?
Yeah, but like team-based co-op.
Ah, okay. Left 4 Dead.
Left 4 Dead. But in a third person.
Let's play Left 4 Dead.
In a universe that everyone
knows. No, screw it. Let's play Aliens.
And the thing that's best about it is that you can change how Resident Evil 2 ended.
Yeah, which is cool because it's like you get to kill Leon.
Yeah.
He doesn't get to survive. If you didn't like Leon and his crappy hair, you can just kill him.
Okay.
And it's really cool as well because they've upped, like, they've got the same cutscenes going on in the game as well.
Yeah.
But up the graphics, so it's like, oh, I remember this cutscene, but it just looks like 5 million times.
Well, that's what was awesome about the trailer when they originally announced this game, was at the end of the trailer, or is it the start of the trailer? They did the whole Leon bit from the start, and I was like, that's awesome.
But Operation Raccoon City is coming out at the end of the year as well?
I think this is... Or is it the end of the year? I thought it might have been next year. Revelations comes out at the end of the year.
Oh, maybe that's something.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, Operation Raccoon City was awesome.
If I had my notepad, I'd have all of these dates down.
Do we have dates for Raccoon City, though?
I don't know.
Who cares?
Viewers, listeners, readers.
What? Who?
Me.
You. Okay, then.
You're the sole person.
Say that.
Okay, so next up, we're going to talk about the new Metro game. This is the Metro game that you may remember from the Metro system in Moscow.
Yes, Metro 2033, which of course was the first game.
Sure, I know what it was.
I'm just informing the listeners.
Don't say the listeners know, man. So, that Darth Aura bloke, he knows, man.
Okay, Paul.
I'm playing Angry Birds.
So Metro First Light was announced just before E3, and THQ had it on show. They didn't have it playable, annoyingly, but we got to check it out. So this is PC, 360, Wii U, and PS3. It's coming out next year. So similar to the first one, it's the same dude, survival horror kind of FPS game.
Oh,
nice. Set once again in the Metro in Moscow.
So when is this set, sorry?
It's set after the other one, which was in 2033. This one has nothing to do with the series of books, though. So the first one was based on the book Metro or something. I can't think of the name of it.
It's called Metro. The Underground.
But this one
is Britain we're in.
This one's the outside the book. I think they've spoken to the author of the original, but they haven't actually, you know, gone from another story. I thought it was cool. It had some cool stuff in it. So the vertical slice we got to see had you having to shoot out the lights, darkness style, so that you could keep in the shadows. But then there was stuff similar to that in the first one anyways. No, it seemed cool. Scenery, there was destructible scenery. Oh, yeah, noticeable bits as well, though. The best bit of it really was it went a bit later into the game and you went to like this kind of dystopian... leader kind of giving his his kind of talk to his men
leader.
And following off from that you then went into this room and then got on a train and then you're then fighting on a train, and that was really nice because there was like these crates and there was lots of tarpooling, is it, like on the crates, is that the right term?
Mm-hmm.
Like sheets and stuff like that.
Stuff.
there was lots of sheets and stuff, and it was all moving about in the breeze because it was going really fast on a train and you were having to go through. It was just a really nice sense of speed and movement and stuff like that. There were no mutants in the demo that we saw, though, which was a bit weird. But they then showed us a mutant near the end who was a new kind that had come into it. But overall, it looked cool. It was a nice, bleak-looking game, but also survival horror-y, unlike other games that are in bleak worlds at the moment. So it looked cool. And people weren't talking English, which I think is always nice in a game. Because, of course, they were talking Russian.
Oh, why?
Yes.
Paruski.
Next up, I had a little play of a game called Rotastic, which is kind of like Peggle meets Donkey Kong King of Swing. For anyone who played DK King of Swing on the Game
what's
Boy Advance.
What's Peggle and what's a Donkey
Kong? Well, you know what Peggle is.
Yeah, it's the game with Gordon Freeman, isn't it?
You played Peggle. Yeah, so what it is, it's like a little XBLA PSN title that's coming out soon. Which, it's Peggle because you have to collect, you have to do something. So, of course, in Peggle, you hit the pegs, which are orange. In this, you had to pick up crystals and stuff.
Hey,
but it was all based on a grapple
hook. I spend my time hitting the blue pegs.
Okay.
The orange pegs can smeg off.
Okay. It was all based on a kind of grapple hook mechanic. So, you press like A or whatever it was to hold onto a grapple hook and then you swing round and round. You didn't have to sort out the momentum. That was sorted for you from the speed at which you jumped onto a grappling hook. It was quite harsh though, because there were like spikes and stuff like that in the levels, which made it actually really quite hard. But it seemed really cool. There was a time limit before you could swing onto another grappling hook, which then made it quite hard at times. If you were almost falling to your death. But I thought it looked awesome, and I'll probably be picking that up when it comes out, because I quite liked it. Next up, I believe I have Otomedius on my show notes. Yes, Otomedius Excellent, which is a Japanese shmup made by Konami that they had on show. So Otomedius Gorgeous came out on the 360, but only in Japan. I think it was a year or two ago now. And I'd imported it and played it, and it was quite a cool, nice little shoot 'em up, but quite hard at times as well, like how Gradius is pretty hard. And in America, they're getting a release of Otomedius Excellent, which is the second game, the next game in the series, which is exclusive once again for Xbox 360. I gave it a play, it was really cool. In ways, it felt easier than the first one, which was quite hardcore, but it still had the same kind of flaws that I found kind of annoying. So the levels start off exactly the same, which is they start in kind of a starry kind of area and then it bleeds into the level. But they're still kind of, you get enemies from the left if you're going down in levels, and it's the kind of shooter where you can't rotate, so you can only shoot right. So you can't shoot left, which means you can never kill these enemies, as well as lots of enemies from the ceiling and the floor, which are harder to get. However, with this one, they fixed it, so you, unless it was just in the mode that I was playing, you can't actually get hurt. So in Otomedius Gorgeous, if you touched the ground, you died. In this one, if I touched the ground, I didn't die, which I thought was quite nice, because it was quite an improvement on like a really annoying factor of the first one. The enemies were quite similar. The power-ups didn't seem as awesome as the first one, but I kept losing them, because I kept dying a lot. The bosses were uber harsh, like they always are, because it would really benefit in a way from being able to shoot left as well, but they've not done that for a reason. It's still got a lot of slowdown though, so the first one had lots of slowdown for things like games like Death's Mars. They imitate a slowdown, which is for the bullet hell kind of stuff, but for this I think it's actually because it can't handle it at times. But yeah, it was cool. I played too much of it though, because I was told by someone if he could like reset the game, because I'd played past where I should have, so I apologised profusely for that because I didn't mean to.
Oh, so you're the people who always hog all the things.
No one else was playing it, not many people were going over it. Sadly, this is not having a UK release, but I thought I'd play it.
What
anyway.
Is it on? What are you talking about?
It's a 360 shooter.
Well, why don't you say so?
I already did. Yeah, so it's only coming out in America. It's probably out in Japan already, or it's coming out very soon in Japan. We probably won't get a release in the UK though, because there's not a huge market for shmups over here. Sadly.
Yeah, there is.
Is there?
I'll buy it if it's good.
But a full price, £40 shooter?
Two words. The second one is off.
Well, that's how much... I'd imagine it's a full price title.
I'm playing Peggle anyway.
So I know you are. Then I got to play a little Metal Gear 3DS.
Oh, good.
Which is, of course,
can
a port of the
PSP. Can we talk
about
Skyrim yet?
No, not yet. You can leave it till last if you want.
Okay. In your face, everybody.
Yep, so we can talk about Skyrim at the end.
Right, well, I'm going home then, because there's no point in me staying.
So Metal Gear 3DS is looking really nice. It's got some really nice depth in it from the 3D aspect, mainly because, of course, it's set in the jungle. So you get this nice kind of stuff with leaves and flowers and trees and stuff like that. The controls were really weird. So because, of course, Metal Gear 3 was made for a dual stick console, the 3DS is not dual stick. So
what do they do?
You've got the analog stick for moving yourself around, so that controls Snake, and then you've got A, B, X, and Y to move the camera.
Well, that's what a lot of PSP games did.
Yeah, it felt really weird. Because it was confusing, because I'm used to A, B, X, and Y generally being action buttons in 3D in DS games. So it felt quite weird when I did that. Of course, because the Metal Gear games have a lot in terms of controls as well, so there was different things for all the different varieties of things Snake could do, so like crouching and hugging walls and shooting and aiming and I don't know, there was lots of combinations of buttons as well. So like every single loading screen it would show me the controls again in case I'd forgotten them. I thought it seemed cool. It felt really weird playing a Metal Gear game on a handheld console. Of course there was Metal Gear on the Game Boy. Is that Game Boy Color?
PSP ones as well.
It was Game Boy Color. Yeah, no, there was, but they've been a different kind of style. So we had Peace Walker on the PSP and Acid 2, which were, of course, card games, and then the Portable Ops games as well. But it felt really weird because it's a console game. It felt weird playing that on 3DS, although playing Zelda doesn't feel weird, which is a bit weird, I guess.
Yeah, it is weird.
Yeah. But my main thing to say is now they need to do Metal Gear Solid 2, Sons of Liberty, on the 3DS.
Nope.
No?
So when's that coming out?
That's coming out some point this year, I believe.
And that's on Xbox, right?
No.
Oh. What's this next thing?
Awesome Knots. Sorry, Lead Me's. Oh, sorry, I missed it. Lead Me's was the game I spoke to you about. It's a Kinect game, which is like Lemmings.
Oh, what, the thing where you have to like use your body to fill in the gaps to get your little dudes to the end of the level?
Yeah, so you kind of help them.
So for example, you might have like a gap and you have to put your arm there and they walk along your arm.
Well, generally they kind of walk along your whole body.
Hey, so the gaps I don't want some creepy thing.
The gaps were across whole levels and stuff like that.
Okay.
Or transporting them from a higher ledge to a lower ledge.
Okay.
So it was really nice. It was Konami's first Xbox Live Arcade Kinect title. It was going to be one of the first XBLA Kinect titles, but of course the Kinect Lab stuff has come out now. Although this will probably be the first you have to pay for. It's pretty much Lemmings. You've got these little autonomous guys that you cannot control. They walk in one direction until they turn around, and then they'll walk back in the other direction. They're quite fragile. Lemmings were quite fragile as well, though, weren't they? Because if they fell a great distance, they'd die.
If they fell...
if they fell without the parachute?
About a third of the screen, they died. If they walk into fire, they die.
Yeah.
If they walk into water, they die.
So it maps the...
If you make them blow up, they die.
It maps, like, a tiki-looking style character. That's all I can describe it as, because there's not much in the way of information on the game being released. But you play this dude, and it maps his body to your body. So when you move about, it works quite well. So the Once Upon a Monster game had a few issues with picking yourself up, whereas this actually never seemed to have an issue. But that may have been like where it was set up, because there was a lot of room for this game, which is a shame though, because of course I don't have much room in my living room.
No, especially not now.
But it was really nice. It also had two player as well. So in, for example, the one player stuff, you'd have a portal on the left side of the screen. You got to put your hand up there so they can start crawling onto you. Make sure they don't fall, and then put them up on the right side of the screen. So you'd have to kind of like move them about, and then angle your body so they could then get to the other portal.
Just tell them to beat it. Or like the Lemmings. At least Lemmings could build.
So there was like another level that I played that was a bit later on. It had like little balls fell from the sky, and so if you were getting the little lead me's into your hands, like you held your arms up.
the balls would start coming in, and you'd have to try and shield the balls from coming in, because otherwise then they'd squish the lead Miis. It was really nice. The two-player stuff was cool as well, because it was fun. Because on the first level in the two-player stuff, it would map the portals onto your body. So one of them would be on your left hand, and on the, your friend, it would be on their leg or on their head or something like that. So, like, Charlotte was grabbing my leg at one point and trying to get him in. Gay. It was fun. It was loads of fun.
Gay. Grabbing people's legs.
Like, and there was another one as well, which, on the two-player, where there was a circuit that had to connect through your two bodies, so you had to hold hands.
Gay.
I could play it with you.
Gay.
Okay, fine, that's gay.
Let's talk about Awesomenauts.
Well, no, I was just going to say, it's early in development, but apparently it's coming out this summer / autumn. I'm going to guess autumn.
So probably next year.
Could be, I don't know. Either way, it was lots of fun, and I'm looking forward to this little game.
It does sound interesting.
They didn't have abilities, though, which I think is a shame. Because it lost that complexity that Lemmings has.
But having that complexity in a Kinect game would be difficult anyway.
But you could easily have it in the little dudes. So there were stars in the level that if the little lead Miis picked up, they'd glow kind of goldy coloured.
And explode.
But it didn't...
Oh no!
The only kind of thing that had to do with the game was that you then fill a quota to help your scores. I like it.
Awesomenauts, we have an interview on the YouTube channel about the Awesomenauts guy who's jib-jabbing on for quite a while.
Don't say jib-jabbing, that's mean.
Well, the way you cut him with all like 2 seconds of footage in between him, it's like...
I didn't have that much footage to cut him.
Yeah, well, what's the deal, man?
So, Awesomenauts is a MOBA,
Is this a DS game or a PC game?
This is a 3-6, XBLA PSN title.
Wait, what's lead Miis on? Is that PS3, is it?
Oh, I already said. And if it's Kinect, you know, we know what it is.
PC then, yeah.
No.
Well, what's the point in that?
So, Awesomenauts is a MOBA, which is a massively multiplayer online battle arena.
Oh, what?
So, it's like a lot of other games that are out there at the moment. In that.
So, it's like Modern Warfare 2, only instead of having some guy with a gun... You have a guy with a chainsaw.
What? No. So, they like, most recently, I suppose, the most recent release was Monday Night Combat. But that was more with guns. Whereas this has guns, but it's stylized 2D kind of thing.
So, this is Smash TV.
No, it's not Smash TV.
So, this is Assault Heroes, is it?
I can't remember Assault Heroes.
What? Oh,
was that
God.
The one I remembered you playing?
I love Assault Heroes.
Did I watch you play it? Yours?
Maybe. Once. I don't know.
So you've got like you've got towers in this level. So you get a map.
Tower defense game. Why don't you say so?
You've got towers, and you've got a red team and a blue team, and the red team have to blow up the blue team, and the blue team have to blow up the red team. And what you do is you've got like this infinite force of little kind of minions that go and attack the other side, and they've got that as well. But then you've got to play against your friends and try and kill their towers off, while making sure you don't kill.
So it's
yourself.
Like a tug of war game.
I suppose you could say it's a tug of war. Except once a tower is destroyed, it's destroyed.
Yeah, like the tug of war games, for example, in Warcraft 3 or Starcraft, where people have made these maps where you have people just spawn automatically by themselves and they go off and attack by themselves. And then you play Bejeweled, for example, and then it buys you special powers and you can buy a specific unit and then the unit will go off with them and attack.
That is tower defense, though.
No, because you two player.
Oh, okay.
There's no, you have towers.
It sounded like you made it sound like a tower defense because you said you buy special towers. Units. But yeah, so it's a really cute little game. It's looks nice and it's 2D.
But if you have StarCraft 2, you can just play Bejeweled or Starjord as it's called in StarCraft.
Uh huh. But
we
yeah,
need to do that multiplayer Bejeweled.
Okay.
Tonight.
Oh God.
Me and you.
Okay.
Good.
But yeah, so that's looking awesome, and it's coming out, I think it's set to come out at the end of the year.
What about the game Assassin's Creed?
They didn't have it playable.
They didn't have it playable? Well, what's the point in that?
They had people playing it for you. So next up I've got
people playing it for you.
Dr. Lautrec and the Forgotten Knights. This is a 3DS game coming out by Konami, which is kind of, it felt to me, it's Professor Layton meets Pokemon. So you're solving puzzles.
So wait, Professor Layton's there, merrily doing about his business, and then Pikachu shows up and he's like, what are you doing here? And he's like,
It just felt like
and then
it
they
was
fight
that.
To the death in a beat 'em up.
So there was the puzzle kind of aspect, like you got from Professor Layton, as well as the little anime cutscenes and lots of dialogue. But then I went into a battle where I then had to capture this thing.
Oh yeah.
See,
I don't know what Pokemon plays like, so yeah, I don't know.
Well, I only mean Pokemon in terms of capturing. It was cool. I don't know if it's one for me, maybe. Because I was interested in it when they announced it, because it was a 3DS game as well. And, like, I just got my 3DS, and I was like, where are all the games?
3DS. 3DS.
Like, style, the characters, they remind me of Clockwork Knight, which is a bit weird. But it seemed very unserious, I thought. There was stealth in it as well, and lots of running around and exploring, which, of course, Professor Layton doesn't have. So it was interesting, and it did have its kind of logic puzzle aspect, so it was kind of cool. But yeah, so that's a 3DS title coming out later this year, I believe.
Blood Rain Betrayal.
Yeah, so we got to check out the new Blood Rain game.
Oh yeah.
Which is not on a PS2 anymore, of course.
I'd hope not.
And is a 360 XBLA PSN title. This is like and now a 2D side-scrolling kind of action game, but it plays really nice. It's super fast.
What about Modern Warfare?
Who cares about that?
90%
of
our
people,
listeners.
Yeah, I know. Lots of people care about it. But there's also other cool games out there. So this is, it's just a fast-paced kind of combat. You've got, like, these, are they zombie dudes? I don't know. You've got these dudes you've got to kill. Being Blood Rain, you can, of course, either just kill people, or you can suck them a bit dry. But then you can also poison them and make them explode.
Can we flush them down the toilet and laugh?
No. So this is like made by WayForward, who, you remember me playing A Boy and His Blob?
Yes.
So that looked really cute.
Sure.
So this is their first kind of real 360 title and PSN title. And they've kind of taken advantage of that. So they claim there's like 4,000 frames of animation in the game that go fluidly from each other. So it looks really nice, and it plays super fast. And yeah, it looks cool.
But on the other hand, we also have Resident Evil Revelations coming out, which is a mix between Resident Evil and Resident Evil.
Yeah. By the way, Blood Rain is supposed to be coming out maybe 31st of August, and it's going to be at a 1,200 price point.
Ouch.
Lots of games come out of that now.
Boo.
Boo. I boo you. No, I wouldn't.
So another boring Resident Evil game.
So this is the Resident Evil for the 3DS. So this is coming out later on this year, I believe. So we've got Resident Evil Mercenaries coming out soon, which is a kind of action-y mercenary type game, like in Resident Evil 4, I think. And like Resident Evil 3 had a Mercenaries mode as well.
What about MechWarrior? MechWarrior 4 Mercenaries.
I'm not sure. Resident Evil Revelations is kind of an old school Resident Evil game, which we haven't had for a while. So it's the kind of, you run out of ammo really, really easily, and you have to stop to shoot.
So it's a third person fixed camera jobby, or is it movable camera?
Third person fixed camera.
Okay, so it's classic Resident Evil.
Yeah, classic Resident Evil. Full of
not
puzzles.
Not this new stuff trying to be cool and trendy like Modern Warfare.
Yeah. So, like, it was really cute. I was playing from a game that someone had already been playing, so I don't know how much they'd done. But so, like, there was a bathtub. I was like, oh, well, this is Resident Evil. I can drain that bathtub. I drained the bathtub. There was a screwdriver. I took out the screwdriver. I then found a puzzle on a wall to open a door, so I undid.
And then you started running your baby a bath, and this pink ooze started flowing out, and then it tried to grab the baby.
And then it became Ghostbusters. Yeah, so there was a little puzzle, and it was cute because I got to use the touchscreen as well. So I undid a thing with the screwdriver, and then there was a little puzzle with setting some electricity current between some things in order to open the door. It was kind of weird because I didn't really know what the enemies were. They were kind of like some hybrid of tyrants, and there was like a barnacle spike variant of them as well.
Barnacle Bill.
Annoyingly, I ran out of ammo at one point in the game and did not have a knife, but I could easily run past all the enemies and get to the end of the demo.
Oops.
Yeah, but it looks nice. It's a 3DS game. Yeah, it was pretty cool. I quite enjoyed it. I'll be getting it when it comes out as well, so. Yes.
Are you talking about this next thing, or what?
Yes.
Trying to have a nap, because I find all this really boring.
I briefly played Street Fighter Street Fighter Cross Tekken, I believe they call it.
Oh, God. So, Street Fighter versus Tekken.
Yeah. So,
None of them would win, because they all suck.
So, I came over to Charlotte and Tim after I'd been playing Operation Raccoon City, and they were playing a game of this against each other, and Tim beat Charlotte. So, I was like, hey, I'm going to beat Tim now. And I did by default, due to the time limit and how much health he'd lost. It's Street Fighter. It's been slightly dumbed down a little bit for Tekken. It's got all the Tekken kind of people, so I had King in my party, as well as Ryu. Mortal Kombat is what Paul prefers. It played fine. It looked nice. It had the Street Fighter 4 visuals as opposed to Tekken kind of visuals. It was quite fun. I didn't get to put it on a fight stick, though. Which was annoying, because they had fight sticks there, but I had to put it on a controller. And I'd totally forgotten what it was in Marvel vs. Capcom 3 to just switch between the other character you have. But, that was cool. I enjoyed playing that. Tomb Raider?
So yeah, the new Tomb Raider game actually looks good.
It does look really nice. Sadly, it's full of QTEs.
What's a QTE? A cutie person.
A quick time event.
As opposed to what?
Gameplay.
Game, okay.
Tomb Raider sadly wasn't playable. Just
wait,
like
quick time? That's banned from my computers because it's rubbish.
It was very very early vertical slice of the game, but it proved what they were trying to do to change Tomb Raider around. So the game started by introducing their new physics system and fire and stuff like that, and how fire works within the game, and then it kind of went up. So like the first segment of the demo, a lot of people would have seen from the Microsoft conference,
yep,
because they showed it off there, and then that kind of introduced the fact that there's QTEs in it.
Yep.
Someone's
grabbed my leg. I have to press the A button.
We then saw a little bit later on into the game, which then had like this other dude in it, and you had to fight a wolf, but it had a quick time event because you were trying to gnaw at your face and you had to try and beat it away and stuff like that.
If a wolf is gnawing at your face, you need to poke its eyes out.
Yeah, is that how you do it?
What else are you going to do?
Okay.
If it's already at your face, man, you're in trouble. You have to act fast.
Yeah, so they've really changed it around. It's more about isolation and survival now, whereas in the past, Tomb Raiders, Lara's just kind of gone all guns blazing and shot at people and stuff like that, whereas now she's a kid. She's like 21, and she's just trying to make her way and not die in this place, because she doesn't know where she is. She just wants to survive, and she wants her friends to not die as well. It seemed nice because when they kind of ran through after the demo that we saw at the Microsoft conference, she was running all over buildings, kind of like Assassin's Creed style, and it looked quite nice because in Tomb Raider you've always been quite confined within one path, so you've only ever really been able to go this way or this way, whereas it seemed like you could like just run all over the place, which was nice because Tomb Raider hasn't really had that before. The only reason you'd go a different path is so you could get a collectible. So one path would be collectible, one path would be the main story. It also seemed that you would automatically pick up an item if you ran into it.
Oh yeah.
Because of course one finicky annoying aspect that the Tomb Raider games of past had is you'd have to stand right in the right position to be able to pick up an item and then press the button. And it's only a small kind of thing that I've always found slightly annoying. But I've always been quite a fan of Tomb Raider games. She seems very Keira Knightley. Do you know who that is?
The guy from Star Trek.
That's what she felt like to me. She's totally different voice actor. It's not Keely Hawes anymore. And she swears.
I don't think that's appropriate.
She swore.
That's not appropriate.
They're kind of taking it out of that aspect. Because the thing is, they haven't been child-friendly games. Okay, I suppose some of them have been 12s. Others have been 16s, but Lara's never really sworn before.
That is not appropriate. I'm running to the newspaper.
But I thought it seemed really cool. I tried to find out who the new Lara is, but sadly they said they were going to announce her voice a little bit later on down the line.
Yeah. Come on.
But there's fast travel in it. So you've got, like, from a campfire, I think it was, or from this certain campfire, it's like her home ground, and you could fast travel to different locations you've already been to. You could create new gear by doing salvaging. So if you had, like, wooden sticks and stuff, I imagine. And as well as that, you can upgrade her skills. So they've kind of really changed Lara around.
Oh, yeah.
But what I saw I enjoyed, I can look past QTEs, because I don't mind QTEs, but I know there's lots of people who moan about them. Which, I mean, I did a little moan about them anyway. But, I mean, Lara's combat system hasn't always been that great.
But you have to wait, like, 18 months to play.
Yeah, it doesn't come out for a while.
And when it does come out, it has to complete with Halo 4.
Lots of stuff's going to have to compete with that.
Let's talk about Prey 2, because that was not a segue into Halo 4.
No, it was not. So, I really enjoyed seeing Prey 2. It has nothing to do with Prey at all.
I do appreciate the fact that it has nothing to do with Prey 1. I don't appreciate the fact it's called Prey 2.
So, it's made by the same guys that made the first one. I'm guessing maybe they chose the name Prey 2. One, because I think it does link story-wise in between... Well, links the two together at one point. Plus, of course, if people see the name Prey 2, they'll think, oh, I played Prey. I quite enjoyed it.
Wait, nobody played Prey.
I played Prey.
I didn't.
I thought it was alright.
I played good games, like Quake 3 Arena.
So you wake up on this kind of planet called Exodus, which is this kind of gritty alien noir environment.
God.
So they've taken film noir aspects and put them into their own kind of environment.
So it's set in 1940s Los Angeles.
No.
Oh, man.
So there's lots of crime, prostitution, strip clubs, stuff like that.
1940s Los Angeles. You play detective, whatever his face is, and you have funky facial expressions.
Yes, Paul. So one of the key things of it was it's got a really nice cover system. So this is a first-person shooter.
So like Harry Potter, and it definitely Hallows, where it has a cool cover system. This also has a cool cover system.
So Harry Potter is a third-person game.
Shut up.
This is a first-person game. You don't get that many first-person games with cover systems.
Hey, so yes you do. Killzone. Thief.
Did it have a proper cover system?
Well, you could hide against the wall.
Did you press a button to hide, or was it you just stand in front of it?
No, hide. You press a button.
Okay. Yeah, so Killzone had a cover system.
Nobody cares about Killzone apart from that Reese Baxter bloke.
A few games have had cover systems at first persons. However, this one looked quite solid. So you could slide into cover, you could vault over cover, you could hang from cover. So as well as that, it's kind of got a parkour kind of aspect, like Mirror's Edge has. So you could climb up different paths and then...
fall off and go...
Well, you could fall off, although you have hover boots, so you could protect your landing. Which are limited, though, so you can't just hover around everywhere.
Well, I want to be like Spock, man.
But you can hang off some cover and then pull yourself up and shoot over the cover. So it's quite nice because you didn't have to... You couldn't only shoot over cover on your ground level. There's blind fire as well and stuff like that. But so with these new abilities that they've given this new dude called Killian, they've made Exodus very vertical to help... encourage the use of the cover system. I thought it looked really nice. I really enjoyed it. It was cool because you're not made to have a gun out by default. You're not, so you don't have to be a all guns blazing, I'm going to kill everyone kind of guy. So you could keep your gun out down all the time, never have it out on people. Or you could take your gun out. If you had your gun drawn, people would react to it. So you'd scare people, or they'd run away, or they'd shoot you back, depending on what the person did and what they're like. They put loads of gadgets in it too, so like I said, there's hover boots, and you get like a scanner where you can look at people, so like the whole detective mode stuff that's going on at the moment.
Told you.
And like, people were yellow if they're potentially hostile, red if they're aggressive, or green if they're no threat to you. As well as that, so because you're a bounty hunter, there's like a bounty wire where you get your kind of hits. From that, it tells you like, what the hits are worth and how they want them, so whether they want them dead or alive. And then you'd have to go about capturing people.
Dead or alive, extreme beach volleyball.
But what was nice as well is, so when you're about to capture someone, they'll then try and bribe you for like double the money you're being paid to let them go. You could take that bribe then, or you could then capture them. When you capture them, you could then interrogate them for more information. But if you interrogated them too much, you could then accidentally kill them. And then if they were wanted alive, you know, you kind of screwed that up, because now they're dead, you won't get your bounty back, and you only found out, like, some dude lives somewhere or something like that. But I thought it was really cool. It was cool.
Yeah, so yeah. Rage, the game that I have mixed feelings about.
I liked it. And they had, like, 2, 4, 6 playable levels. One which was Funny Buggy Parts, one which was Bash TV. They had RC Bomb Base, Dead City, Authority Prison, and Dusty 8 Rocket Race. So Dead City was shown at Eurogamer last year and all the other kind of stuff as well. I played Bash TV, which is a version of Smash TV, but within the Rage universe. So you were shut in a room with mutants that you had to kill. And then you got money based off your score and your time limit and your accuracy and stuff like that. So that was really cool. And I played the Buggy Parts mission, which was going through they are anarchists, right? Or some kind of version of Wasteland.
It's got an anarchist symbol in the logo.
Yeah.
Of course there are anarchists
about. Wasteland, bandits kind of stuff.
And they're being led by that guy.
What made
Reese Baxter.
What made me laugh?
The Foulclaw.
I don't know if I'm allowed to say it.
Say what?
A dude called me a wanker. I thought it was funny.
You're not allowed to I'm not a Catherine.
Aww.
Do I look like I'm in the mood for editing the show?
Yeah, you look like you want to go in a nice fridge or something, which is cold.
Yes. Come on, let's get to the Skyrims.
Okay. So
Skyrims!
I really enjoyed Rage. I thought it was fun.
We'll talk about Rage later, and because no doubt I will get it, I will like it, because it's id Software, they make amazing games, and although this isn't a typical thing that I enjoy, aka sci-fi or traditional fantasy style thing, it's no doubt going to be really good.
The guns were interesting.
The guns had better be interesting. Id Software are well known for having guns which are fun.
What?
There are so many games now with crappy, rubbish guns where you pull the trigger and it's like, this is lame.
So one thing that was annoying though about it is it's got the similar kind of, so what you get from Oblivion where you have to loot someone, you have to loot people in Rage in order to get their ammo. Don't you find that kind of annoying? Shouldn't you automatically pick up ammo when you walk over?
It is traditional in its software titles, so things just to float around on the floor and stuff.
And rotate.
Yes, just like spin around by themselves floating in midair.
They've evolved off of that.
But I'd have a problem with that. For example, Crisis 1, I loved the fact that I had to rummage around people's dead bodies to see what they had. Well, you didn't have to rummage, you just had to look down and, oh look, there's a weapon there, I'll pick that up.
I enjoyed being stealthy in Rage as well.
In Crisis 2, it irritated me that they took that out.
Oh, really?
Yes. So, no, I quite like that.
Okay. I enjoyed it, though, and the kind of, you get like a boomerang thing, I can't remember what it's called.
The thing is, it slows the pace of the gameplay down quite a bit.
Because you're not constantly just running through.
Yeah. Which for a game like Rage, I think will suit it more than being a fast-paced Quake game.
I liked it. I want it, but it's been delayed by a month, hasn't it?
Meh. XCOM.
Yes. So I got to see some XCOM stuff. For anyone that's seen the new trailer that came out recently,
no,
it's pretty much that now. So it's a tactical shooter. It's not like, it felt more like Bioshock, the first trailer they released. Now it doesn't feel like that at all. So you play
Captain Harris.
William Carter.
Leader of the 9th Infantry Battalion.
And you're working with these people in order to try and find out about these aliens, who are called Outsiders, I believe.
Oh, that's a stupid, unoriginal name.
Oh, I think they're called Outsiders. So
Outlander.
What we saw was, you're within this kind of little mission kind of team base, so you can recruit
and
agents.
That's Dragonborn.
You can recruit agents, and then you can also recruit agents and select a mission. You can spend some time in this kind of base if you want, or you can just go out and do your missions.
Just get out of here.
Your agents will have special abilities, which then can help you out in the field. When you go out into the field, you'll then go into a more tactical situation. So you can't go out all guns blazing on your own. You have to then,
do you want
to
bet?
Order your dudes to go do whatever. So they have special abilities you can choose, or you can just tell them to go to cover over there or over there and over there and stuff. As well as that, it's nice because they're taken from the original XCOM in a way, because you can learn from the Outsiders. So you can research on their kind of technology. So you can take, well, you can steal the technology if you kind of capture it as such, and then you can take it back to base, or you can actually then use it against the aliens themselves. So, like, there was this huge, I'm not sure what it was, a Titan? There's a Titan, which is, like, this huge kind of circle thing that shoots, like, this massive laser beam stuff out.
So what, is this Geometry Wars, then, where giant circles and oblongs and triangles attack you? Oh my god. They're
all quite polygonal. The aliens. So there's different kinds, because there's kinds that can take on someone's look and pretend to be a human, or there's squish ones that blobs. Can't do that.
Blob squish.
But the Titan stuff was cool, because then it would explode everything.
Blob squash.
So they've pretty much just totally changed it since what they showed at last E3, because there was a lot of negative feedback about it, and people who liked XCOM didn't like what they saw. They're changing it now to make it more tactical. Of course, it's not the original XCOM. It's a reimagined version, but they're trying to stay within some tactical roots.
They don't want to annoy everyone, do they?
They don't. They want to try and keep people slightly happy, at least. But it's coming out March 6th. It's coming out on 360 and PS3 now, I believe. I don't think there was a PC release announced as of yet.
Skyrim!
But so, like, all the tactical stuff's done on the D-pad as well.
Skyrim!
That's quite cool. I saw Bioshock Infinite stuff. It's looking cool.
Up in the sky! Up in the sky!
There'll be
no accusations, just friendly crustaceans up in the sky!
Why are there crustaceans up in the sky?
Because it's the Under the Sea song.
I know.
It's just, I can't change. There are seagulls up in the sky. There are birds up in the sky. That doesn't sound as cool as crustaceans. And it doesn't match with accusations, does it?
So there are a few things on it.
That's why you're not a massive popular singer type person. You don't know what rhymes, man.
You're not a silent character, which is always nice.
I'm not a silent character, so I go along,
Well, no, as in, like, he said something at some point.
That's what the wolf 3D did, didn't you? Run along a wall.
I know. So what we were shown was about a third through the game, apparently. Similar to XCOM, it's extremely colourful. More colourful than Bioshock, because, of course, Bioshock being under the sea.
Bioshock was a bit dank, which puts me off.
Whereas this is, like, up in the sky.
Up in the sky.
Everything's sunny, everything's colourful, everything's bright.
And then it blows up and everyone dies. Whoopsie doodle.
Sorry, I was yawning.
Well, don't. This is a podcast,
I'm
yo.
Sorry.
Show some of the listeners some respect, yo.
I didn't mean to.
You did.
Yeah, so it showed some of the kind of war between the Vox Populi guys and the Founders, who are the two, like, opposing factions.
The Founders? Oh my god. Flipping shapeshifters, man. Runaways.
It's looking cool.
It's so too late, the Gemini.
Something that we actually missed out on. with the Silent Hill Downpour stuff, is they've put tears in the time, apparently. Well, tears in space, not in time. So you can find shortcuts throughout the world in order to shortcut and stuff like that. Bioshock has tears in time. So something similar to what Doctor Who had recently done, because they did tears. Bioshock Infinite has tears, but in time and space. So, like, you see Elizabeth, who's the girl, like, over this horse, which is dying on the ground. She says, like, oh, it's dying, I want to help it. And you can, like,
tough, Atreyu couldn't help his horsey.
You can, like, euthanize the horse, and, like, a button comes up, and you hold it down to euthanize the horse, and then she breaks the button off the screen. And then,
lol.
So you can't do that. And then she does this stuff, because she's got these powers, and she's trying to then use them, which she's not really used to. And then she, like, does this stuff around the horse, and the environment changes around her. So, like, they're in a kind of burnt area because the horse has been hurt, and then it turns into, like, this green field. But then she loses control and it comes back to normal time. But then she does it again, and then you're on a street, and there's a cinema, and it says Return to the Jedi showing, and then an ambulance is waiting around a corner and is about to run into her, but then she manages to close it off in time before getting killed. So they've got some weird thing going on with tears at the moment.
Okay, so really basically, it could be a bit weird.
So, yeah, I want to know what they're doing with it.
I know, I'm obviously seeing it. Time travel.
Yeah, but how so?
Well, you walk into one zone, and it resets it on a script back to how it's now going to be.
Mm.
You walk through back, and then it's back to how it was before. It's simple, it's relaxed.
But it was cool, because they showed a lot of using the railings kind of things that they've got. So they've got these kind of going along these things that they travel in between. I can't think of what they've called them.
jump pads, only a bit more fancy.
But as well as that, so these tears in time she can use, like she was quite inexperienced in it in the portion that we saw, but you could make, she could make things appear. So you could get choices of, oh, you could have this thing that could be used for cover, which was a wagon.
I want both.
Or you could have a barrel full of weapons.
I want both.
Or you could have a door that led to somewhere, but you didn't know where. And so you could choose one of those. And she could do this at multiple points in the game, so she could use it to your advantage, and you could make something appear that could then go into some enemies and kill them.
Yeah, scripted jib-jab.
Yeah, fairly scripted. But yeah, it looks really cool. There's this thing called the Songbird, which is your kind of, her captor, which is this massive mechanical bird, which I imagine has someone inside of it, but it's really cool looking. I'm looking forward to it. It comes out next year. I'm sure we'll have more details soon. I want to play it myself, though. Maybe it was a bit broken. But then generally that's the reason, because, of course, a lot of these builds where we weren't able to play the games would have been early builds, so they didn't want anyone playing around with it and breaking it. Because when a build's early, you know, who knows what you can do with it. So yeah, Bioshock Infinite was cool.
Now, let's talk about the only thing that matters.
According to Paul.
The Elder Scrolls V Skyrim. So basically, it's a game. It's got a guy in it. According to the guy from Spike TV or whatever it was, he's called Dragonborn. Despite the fact that's not the character's name, because it's a character in a role-playing game and you can role-play as any character you choose. But we'll just disregard Mr. Retard's flip. Oh, God, punch that guy. And there's Dragonborn. Shut up, you stupid Todd Howard's there. Don't mess with a Todd Howard. Oh, don't give me something about Todd Howard. Taking a hand-to-hand skill. What the hell, Todd Howard? Are you not talking about this, or is it just me?
I am. I've got five pages of notes.
Give me the notes. Okay, there's something called a Gothic. There's something called a Spiders. And there's a guy called Dragonborn.
You didn't even read any of my notes there.
I can't read, yeah, right?
No, you can't.
So basically they showed like a 30-minute long piece of gameplay footage. They've announced a few key changes has been made to the game. One, the dual-wielding stuff, which we already knew about anyway, so you can dual-wield spells, weapons, blah, blah, blah. You can even have a torch in one hand, a spell in the other hand, to combine your spells and make them more powerful as well. La-di-da. Who cares? Nabby Halo 2 stuff we saw ages ago. We don't really need it, Todd Howard. Just take it out of the game. We don't need it. They removed hand-to-hand skill, which is annoying, because what if I want to play a boxing game, yo? I need to get my boxing skill up. But now I'm going to have to buy Fight Night to achieve that, so I object to that. Dragons are also funky. Dragons are cool. We already knew they were in the game. They shouldn't be in the game, in my opinion. We don't like dragons. They're stupid. They're going to be even more annoying than Oblivion Gates. You know, you're happily minding your own business in the forest picking some herbs up, and there's a stupid Oblivion Gate there with a bunch of crap around it, and it changes the sky and makes the place look unpleasant. Now we're going to have a giant flipping dragon come down and attack us when we just want to have a quiet afternoon in the forest. Get rid of the dragons, man. We don't want the dragons. And there's different types of dragons. There's like a frost dragon, which is more powerful than like a fire dragon. We don't want that kind of crap in the game. Todd Howard, get it out of the game. We don't need it. Role-playing game. We don't need a stupid flying dragon that comes along and then you injure the dragon, it can't fly anymore, and then it's a sad dragon. And then you absorb its powers when you kill it, and you get these things called dragon shouts. But no one cares about dragon shouts because we don't...
Where'd you get a soul?
Don't interrupt me, man. I've lost my rhythm now.
Shall I mention some stuff?
No, I haven't finished. So yeah, there's this guy called Dragonborn, according to this guy from Spike TV, and he basically sucks, that man from Spike TV or whatever it was, Game Trailers or whoever was interviewing Todd Howard. Yeah, Dragonborn, shut up, we don't care, man. They did announce a few interesting facts, like there are horses in the game, and the horses don't look rubbish, and the animations don't look rubbish. They have taken on the criticism that Gamercast has levelled against them in repeated episodes of me just making little pokes about how bad Bethesda do their animations, and they're now hired someone to sort it out.
So as well as that, with the new engine, so the new engine allows better animations.
Modified engine.
Modified engine, whatever. They've got a better draw distance, so there's less popping in, which makes it look good.
Yeah, but on the PC, I don't care, because my draw distance will be whatever I set in the config file, 100 million kilometres.
They claim you can climb up every mountain that you see in the game.
Big deal, you can do that in any Elder Scrolls game, apart from some of the mountains which are actually beyond where you can actually travel.
The third person looks cool, as Paul said, so the animation system really has had an overhaul. No jumping in the demo, so I'm not sure what that looks like.
Jumping still. Animations will obviously be improved since they've got a new animation system. Yes. They're not going to have a new animation system and leave the same old lame-o jump in there. Although that would be really funny just to leave in as something funny. You can always know you're playing an Elder Scrolls game. It doesn't matter how realistic the graphics are or anything. The jump always makes you look like a retard.
So, you don't get forced right at the start to choose your class. You kind of choose yourself.
This is what they started introducing in Oblivion, where you sort of play for it, and then the game tries and guesses.
Well, you get Guardian Stone.
Shh. My game. You Jeez. Talked all through this jib-jab.
Jeez.
My game. So, yeah, like in Oblivion, where it's sort of the game sort of worked out your class as you went along, and then you were given an edit screen just as you exit the sewers to confirm it all. And most of the time it said I was some kind of monk or something, despite the fact I was going around with a battle axe beating the crap out of everything. A monk? What are you talking about? So yeah, this game will be the same, only now you won't have your funky edit screen, we do not believe, to make any definite changes to your character. This will be well annoying and makes it less of a role-playing game and more of a nabby, newbie, console nabby...
Well, it's because they've kind of removed the classes almost. Because they've got these Guardian Stones where you select the... if you'd like to be more of a warrior and stuff like that.
Yeah, well, the Guardian Stones...
edit your skills into the heavens.
The Guardian Stones are just really a way of accessing the star sign you're born under.
Yeah.
So, once again, this is the dumbing down of the role-playing aspects of the Elder Scrolls to cater for the stupid console nabs who don't know how to play a game of the Mole Mole 2.
There were fishes in the river.
I expect there to be fishes in the flipping
that
river.
Cool.
There were fishes in Morrowind.
Yeah, but jumping around.
They were jumping around on the flipping beach, walking around in Morrowind.
So, a nice thing with the kind of update engine, you can now look at every item you've got, and in 3D. So,
wait, that's nothing to do with a new engine. They could have done that in the old engine.
Yeah, but could you?
Yeah, your character.
And rotate it and inspect it.
Well, no, you couldn't, but the engine had no problem with doing that because your character would show up in full 3D.
Okay.
So don't let them BS you with this engine rubbish.
Well,
so yeah,
I'm just
now,
adding that myself. That wasn't down with the engine stuff.
Don't mess, man. My Skyrims. So yeah, basically now you can get some venison, yo, from a little deer, and you can look at it and rotate it. What an utterly pointless feature.
No.
Pointless.
Because there was a puzzle in the game where you had to do that.
A puzzle to do what?
Get through a door.
A lockpick?
No. It had to be opened with a claw.
Here's a claw. Use it.
Yeah, but you had to put the claw on and then rotate slides to get through the door. Because that's what the claw told you.
Okay, pointless gimmicky feature. Don't need it. Take dragons out as well. Don't need it. Hey, are you reading your notes or not?
I was until you had a go at me.
Right, fine. I'm going to have to do the rest. So yeah, there's this guy. Yeah, he's called Dragonborn. And he's basically a big gay person who goes around. And yeah, there's mammoths in it now, man. It's like a giant walking around, yeah? So the giant's walking around. And so, but there's also mammoths to go with it. So you start beating the mammoths up. And then, yeah, they start fighting back.
Well, the thing is as well with those is the fact that they're not hostile. Only if you...
Either were mud crabs in Morrowind.
Yeah, but these are giants and mammoths.
Yeah, why should they be hostile?
Well, the thing is that they're a large thing. And you expect large things to attack you.
I don't. I expect them to be sensible because there are few of them, yet many people. Therefore, because they are giants, they have larger brains than most of the retarded claptrap which hang around. And they know not to upset us because we will come back in force.
So do you know that you can do stuff to make money?
Well, yeah, there's jobs and stuff you can do.
Yeah, so...
And like, you can obviously go and chop wood and sell it.
Another example they gave as well was you could set fire to all the logs and then damage the economy. I thought that was quite nice. If you wanted to.
But does that count as breaking the law?
Probably does.
If it does not, Todd Howard, we're going to have words in November.
Well, they didn't mention it. He just jokingly said about it.
Shut up, Todd Howard. Yes, yeah, so anyway, they've also... I don't know if... Did we talk about this on the last pre-free episode? But they've announced that guards and stuff like that are no longer all-seeing, knowing people
I
who
think
know...
I did mention that, yeah.
Who know if you commit a crime on the other side of the map. Now they're all regionalised properly and stuff like that, so that's good. I think we did talk about that on a previous episode, haven't we?
Horse riding is only in third person.
You're kidding.
I already told you this.
What?
As far as I know, that's I asked a question about it as well, and he said, yeah. It's only in third person.
Who was, yeah?
Craig Lafferty.
Right, Craig Laughman. What's the deal, yo?
I asked him and he said, yeah, it's only third person.
Maybe he just misunderstood you.
Maybe he did.
Because I'll tell you what, if horse riding is only third person, I will have to have words with Todd Howard in November. Mm. In fact, I'm even going to CC Tim Willits into the conversation.
Tim Willits! I like Tim Willits, he's awesome. I sat next to him in the Skyrim presentation.
Yes, you said.
And he remembered me.
So what else, man?
I'm having a look at my
stuff. Because I've talked about everything that I can recall. Check out the Skyrim Portal at www.skyrimportal.com and download the Skyrim Portal application for Windows Phone 7.
So have there been spells in Oblivion, like a clairvoyant spell that shows you where you're supposed to go?
No.
Because they added that in.
Yes, they introduced a lame-o fable-style golden breadcrumb trail.
But it's only if you cast the spell.
Oh, yeah, all right, but people are going to cast the spell now, aren't they?
Yeah, now you can just cast it all the time so you know where you're going.
So yeah, it's basically magic trail which shows you where to have to go, and that's a spell. So they've introduced that along with the stupid compass they introduced with Oblivion to make it easy for the lame-o Modern Warfare 2 crowd to be able to find where they're supposed to go, instead of asking people for directions like you're supposed to do in a role-playing game. Ah, dear, oh dear.
Yeah. That's kind of it. I've just got lots of more detailed notes and stuff.
Well, I don't think there was anything majorly new which they announced.
Not really.
They just showed more
footage.
It was
just showing it. They put too many dragons in it, though.
Yeah, they've gone over the top.
Because it was like, oh, now here's another dragon. Oh, no, now here's two dragons. Oh, quick, we better hide in here. There's another dragon. That's like, oh, dragons.
And they emphasised the fact that dragons were non-scripted.
Yes.
So they could go off and do whatever they want. I assume that means they could go off and chop some wood and sell it in town, but they probably can't do that. Because Todd Howard, they're not artificially intelligent characters. They're stupid people who
everyone
go around.
Everyone else attacks the dragons as well if they get too close to them. So they showed some dudes near a town starting to attack the dragons.
I should hope so. What am I paying this City Watch for otherwise, man? It's my monies.
But yeah, so that's all I've really got on Skyrim. It looks nice. And it was running on 360 when I saw it as well, so.
Boom! It's the PC version. Far superior. Are we done then?
Yeah, we're done.
Good, because this episode's gone on for
well,
like
it's
an
we,
hour
it's
and a half.
Well, it's what we checked out at E3.
Well, you check out less next time. Less.
Oh, you cared about Skyrim anyway.
Hey, I was interested in.
You probably would have said to me. Hey, go look at Skyrim again. Hey, go look at Skyrim again. Hey, look at Rage.
I'm half interested in Rage. What about Battlefield 3?
Presentations. We didn't go to it.
You didn't? What? The second game. The only game I'm going to buy this year, other than the Skyrims, and you didn't go to it.
Well, mainly because I was booked with everything else at the same time.
Oh, that's how it is it?
Yeah.
So the game, which will be the best first-person shooter out this year, bar maybe Rage, you didn't go to?
No. But I saw it at the EA conference.
EA Sports.
They showed
it's in the game. Presents Battlefield 3.
We already spoke about it on the show. Well, yeah, I mean, 250.
There's nothing new about Battlefield, really. The trouble is, my concern with it is, are they going to nab it down like Bad Company? Because it seems like that's what they're doing.
Is it?
I just want to go out and start shooting people. I don't care about backstory and all this stupid mission crap. Just let me shoot people online in a cool fashion. Like Battlefield 2. Mm-hmm. When it was good. Before the Bad Company rubbish or the crappy Xbox versions.
What about
2142? Well, 2142 is the same, only futuristic.
Okay.
2142 is tolerable. But they nabbed it down. Sorry, you're supposed to not have like 5 classes or whatever it was? We need more classes than that. Like having a dual medic weapon person? What? No, if I'm a medic, yo, I'm a medic. You know, if I'm support, I'm support. I'm not support and a sniper or whatever crappy combinations they merged everything into. What's the deal with that, Todd Howard? Go to EA and sort them out. Right, I'm writing an email to Todd Howard now. Dear Todd Howard. There we go, right. Yeah, so this is it for this crazy E3, crazy episode that dragged on far too long. Yes. And we spent far too much time talking about Resident Evil.
Anything wrong with Resident Evil? Resident Evil's cool.
We need to talk about the Skyrims and the guy goes, down there, Dragonborn. Shut up. Yeah, so that's it for this episode.
Yes.
We'll have another episode up soonish.
Yeah.
A normal episode. Kind of
stuff. So just talking about normal news.
Normal.
Name that game, releases.
Name the games. The winners of Name the Game will be announced and they will be happy because I have so many people guess now since we've had that episode up for like a month.
Oh, as we're talking about E3 stuff, there's an E3 competition we're running now. There's a post up about it on the website.
We don't need to hear about that.
You can get like an Assassin's Creed Revolutions print.
Yeah, skip.
And a Cookie Mama
Assassin's mix. Creed competition. Get a cool print.
You can see it on our YouTube channel. There's a video.
YouTube.com/GamerCast.net.
Or, of course, just go on the website because there's a video
GamerCast.net. Website is fun.
Yep.
Right, I'm going to bed because all this talk about Resident Evil has put me to sleep.
Thank you, Paul. Awesome. We'll catch you hopefully soon.